Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How long has it been since you honestly and earnestly studied the book of Amos? How often do you sit down and look at the book of Obadiah? Do you dig into the book of Amos and Joel? What about Malachi? Do you get into the book of Esther? Admittedly, over the last several weeks and probably months now, we've been looking at the first readings and the gospel, or the first reading, the epistle readings, and the gospel readings, which all come from the New Testament. It's been a few weeks or a few months since we've looked at the Old Testament in service. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity to study these Old Testament books in your own private devotion. So have you been? Have you been looking at some of those major and minor prophets? Looking at the history of Israel? Looking at the books of poetry and wisdom? Now, granted, lives are getting busier all the time. Technology is increasing day to day, and as it increases, you have friends, family, bosses, employers that expect you to keep up with the technology, whether you do or do not. Also, you might have just graduated from high school or junior high or college, and you've had a big celebration, but you know that soon enough it'll be time for the next big step. High school, college, work, training and orientation. You'll still be doing more learning. School is like Bible study. You might finish one section, but there's always another section to come. In writing his introduction to the Large Catechism, Luther both scolded and encouraged his fellow brother pastors, saying, "I beg such lazy bellies and presumptuous saints, for God's sake, to let themselves be convinced and believe that they are not really and truly such learned and exalted doctors as they think. I implore them not to ever imagine that they have learned these parts of the catechism perfectly, or that they know them sufficiently, even though they think they know them so well. Even if their knowledge of the catechism were perfect, although that is impossible in this life, yet it is highly profitable and fruitful to read it daily and make it the subject of meditation and conversation. In such reading, conversation, and meditation, the Holy Spirit is present and bestows even new and greater light and devotion so that it tastes better and better and is digested." Again, here Luther was encouraging and scolding his fellow brother pastors that they needed to be in the catechism. Jesus gives us another section to be looking into in our gospel text for the Ascension. He says, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms are where he is going to point us. Following his resurrection from the dead and after eating some fish with his disciples, Jesus tells them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that in everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now, the law of Moses is the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The prophets refers both to the major prophets and the minor prophets. Major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, minor like Amos and Joel. And then you also have the Psalms. These were the books that the disciples had to know about the Christ, the one to come. They didn't have the New Testament like we do. They were the ones to write the New Testament, or to begin writing it. What is the purpose of reading the Old Testament then? We already know that Jesus has come. Not only has he come, he has died for us. He has been in the grave. He has been out of the grave. He has ascended now. So what purpose is there in reading the Old Testament? Why should we busy our days that are already so full with so many different things, from technology to graduations to school to jobs, occupations, hobbies, and the like, with books of the Old Testament when we have the New Testament? Well, Jesus thought it was important for his disciples. And we can find this at least three different places in the book of Luke alone. First off, Jesus preached in the synagogues at the end of chapter 4. It says he preached throughout Judea in the synagogues. And what do you think that he used in his preaching aside from the scrolls? Like he used the scroll of Isaiah to preach about himself in one such study. Secondly, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus meets with his disciples in secret. They don't realize that it's him. And he talks to them about the events that had taken place on Good Friday. And the disciples say that they had thought that he was going to be the one to come, but then he died. And so then he takes them aside and reveals to them who he is by saying to them all the things about himself from the law of Moses and the prophets, the way that the Old Testament proved who he was as the Christ, the Son of God. And then thirdly, of course, here in our gospel text for this morning, Jesus says, beginning with the prophets, the Moses and all the prophets, he opened to their minds to understand the scriptures. Along with Luther, then, I urge you not to presume that you know everything there is to know. I urge you to dig in to the Old Testament, that you dig in to God's Word on a daily basis. Have conversations about it, even conversations with me. I enjoy having conversations about the Word. In fact, right after Bible class, I had a conversation about the Bible concerning the book of Proverbs. I enjoy doing that. And I hope that you enjoy having them with each other as well. And as you have conversations about it, I hope you also meditate on God's Word. And as you meditate on it, and as you have conversations about it, and as you devote yourselves to it, the Holy Spirit does work through that, helping you to better understand it and make it easier to digest, to again quote Luther. On the flip side, then, refusing to study the Bible or remaining attached to the vine, and refusing to remain attached to the vine, rather, is sin. After all, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is the third commandment. How do we do this? We fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And of course, Luther doesn't just leave it at that. That was the small catechism, but he also expands on it in the large catechism. He says, this commandment is violated not only by those who grossly misuse and desecrate the holy day, like those who in their greed or frivolity neglect the hearing of God's Word or lie around in taverns dead drunk. It is also violated by the other crowd who listen to God's Word as they would to any other entertainment, who only from the force of habit go to hear the sermon and leave again with as little knowledge at the end of the year as the beginning. This with the understanding that you could be using your days off, your holy days, your Sabbaths, to be getting into devotion in God's Word, both the New Testament and the Old Testament, is the true force of the third commandment. This is how you rightly honor the commandment. How well are you, yes, you, doing? Have you been coming to church of your own spirit-driven desire? Or do you feel like you're forced to or out of habit? Are you learning from coming to church? Or do you still just know the same things you've known for the last 5 years and nothing more, nothing new? Do you use your leisure time for holy work or unholy? On your days off, do you take half an hour, an hour, 15 minutes to study from a book of the Bible, whether it be the New Testament or the Old Testament? All the words of the Scriptures are God's Word, or Christ's words, that He spoke to and for you. From Moses and the prophets to the Gospels about Christ's early life, earthly life, these words have been recorded for your learning, your instruction, and at times, your correction. They have also been written concerning Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. He died on the cross because He knew we could not keep His commandments as He desires. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Jesus has been to the cross for you, and He has risen again. He has now ascended into heaven and has sent that promise which He promises to send in our text for next week at Pentecost. He knew that you could not live according to His commandments, and so He sent a Savior. He came Himself to save you. And in the same way, He knows that you cannot be His witnesses of your own power. And so He has sent to you the power of God, the promise of God, the Holy Spirit, whom we'll hear more about next week. Along with His disciples, Jesus has named you to be witnesses. Jesus has sent you the promise to empower you to do this great work, as we will continue to hear about at Pentecost. While He was still blessing them, Jesus ascended into heaven. And the angels met them as they were still looking up into heaven. And the angels again encouraged them, saying that they were to go and do those things that He had commanded. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And here's a point that I want to make from the end of the text. They were continually in the temple blessing God. They were continually in the temple blessing God. What do you think they were doing in the temple aside from reading the Word, conversing about the Word, devoting themselves to the Word, meditating on the Word? May God and our Lord Jesus, who have sent you this great promise, keep you through Him unto life everlasting. In Jesus' name, Amen.